Well, good morning, church, and welcome. Oh, good to see you guys back again. Awesome. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been teaching on prayer, the importance of it, also the privilege of it, not the obligation of it. I need to stress that very much so, because it seems like everything in our Christian life we look at as an, oh, I got to do that, I got to go to church, I got it. We somehow think of it as an obligation. And I believe it's the reason people look at anything as an obligation, whether it's visiting your mother or spending time with God, is because just really there's a lack of understanding or connection there with one another. And so I know that as you connect more with God, your prayer life gets more exciting, and it's no longer an obligation, but you view it as a privilege. And the more you know about God and how much He cares for you and what He's already freely given you, the more exciting prayer will become. And so I'm trying to incite us to pray more. I'm trying to give us, something for us to kind of maybe see prayer in a different light, and the privilege of being able to pray. And not only being able to pray, we're all able to pray, but I think the privilege of knowing, that's the key, that He hears you. He hears every word you say to Him. He's not like your mother who is kind of listening with one ear and is busy and saying, yeah, 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 and you're not even sure what you're saying yeah to when the kids are talking to you. Come on, we've all been there. I remember with my kids, they'd be telling me something that was very near and dear to their hearts, and I would be kind of only half listening. God doesn't half listen to us. He listens. He hears every sigh. The Bible says even your sighs don't go unnoticed by God. And so what a marvelous God. What a privilege to be able to communicate with God. He hears all of us, and not one word goes unnoticed. And even if you could, it's even just these simple little truths that you could be established in that one truth, it would change your life. Sometimes we're looking for the deeper things, the bigger things, but it's these little things that make all the difference in our lives. So just knowing that God our Father loves to communicate with you should motivate us to pray more. Like, He looks forward to you coming. He's not like some people's, like, oh, here she comes again. Okay, well, just I'll endure her or him while he's here. That's not how our Father views us. Believe me, He waits. And in the picture of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 is a good example of that. How the father just, even to a son who disrespected him, who, was not a great son, the father eagerly looked every day for his son to come back. And so that's how our Father looks at us. He wants us to take the time to just even acknowledge Him in our day. And a lot of us go through days and we don't even acknowledge Him, and yet He waits. He waits. He waits for you just even to say, hey, good morning, Father. And sometimes we don't even do that. So He loves to have us communicate with Him. He'll never force Himself on you. He loves for us to spend time with Him. But we also know, and we've looked at last week, that it's the only way that He can move in your life in this world. Because of the covenant that He's made, there is no other way. If you don't pray, God don't move. That's just the way it is. And sometimes we get the idea that, well, if God loves me, and He's given me all these things, then why is He not just doing what He said that He's... No, it doesn't work that way. We need to, no matter what we think, that is the way it works. And so it's best for us to come on board with that and say, okay, God, I limit you by my prayers. If you don't pray, God don't work. And I said last week, I'll say it again. If you're sitting here, if you are a child of God, somebody prayed for you, or God could not have worked in your life. And so prayer is important. We want to see the kingdom of God come. We want to see God's good things in our lives, but we won't see them, unless we pray. And so prayer is very important. It's extremely important to us, and especially us Christians, You know, I mean, the world knows nothing about praying prayers, but I mean, or they maybe pray, but they're not praying, I don't believe, to the true God. And so in other words, he cannot move on the earth unless someone prays. He's limited to the prayers of his people. And he's set that up that way. And we can't change that. And so he is limited to what he can and cannot do in your life through prayers. And also, I need to add this, faith in those prayers. I mean, we can pray all day long, but if we don't have faith in the prayers we're praying, in other words, what do I mean? I mean believing that God has already granted that which you have asked. Prayer is not trying to get God to come into agreement with the things you desire. You know that. It's not begging him to say, oh, please, God, do this. That is not prayer at all. But prayer is when you and I come into agreement with what he's already done. That's prayer. Then he answers that. And your profession of what Jesus has already done and freely given us through the cross is part of prayer, your confession of it. And even if you don't understand fully what Jesus has given you freely through the goodness of God, he has given us a gift, and we've been talking about that, that tops every gift that we could have, a gift so profound that we can hardly wrap our heads around it, the gift of the baptism of the Spirit.
I'm going to cough.
The gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a gift that no other generation before Christ had, which in and of itself tells us so much about who we really are as believers in the new covenant. Now, before Jesus came to this earth, even from the very beginning, God, our Father, desired to be close to his creation. The Bible tells us he walked and he talked with Adam in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. But after Adam sinned, that was no longer possible. But we can see God's desire for this being played out under the old covenant as well, and as well as in the new. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I shouldn't probably even be up here, but I wasn't going to let this stop me. So God wanted to be close to his people. And we see God's desire for this being played out under the old covenant as well. We had Moses, or he had Moses, build an ark exactly as he instructed it to be built. And this ark was going to be carried around by the priests wherever the people went. Why? So that God could be close to his people. Just think, God was willing to live in a box because he wanted so badly to be close to his people. And to go with wherever they went. But he could not get any closer than that to the people, and only certain people were allowed to come near that ark because of sin. Okay? We couldn't, it's not because God didn't love us, it's just that sin could not stand in the presence of God. You understand? And it's important that we understand that. Sin, God cannot look at sin, okay? He cannot stand, sin cannot stand in the presence of God, and we had sin. So it would have destroyed us, right? And so, but God ultimately wanted to be near his people. So he made, or he had Moses build this ark, this box, to a certain specific, now each specific detail of this ark that was built is all symbolic of Christ. And, but when Jesus came, he was sent to be the payment for the sin that kept God from getting really close to his people. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. Verse 37 of John, chapter 7. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now there's so much in that passage. If any man thirst, what does that mean? Well, Jesus is the only one who can fully satisfy us. You know, when you're thirsty, you need water. And I'm coming to realize that on the inside of every human being is a vacuum shape. Why? There's a part of you that's empty. Because God, who created man, once took up residence from at the beginning. And when Adam sinned, when he chose sin over God, his spirit died. What does that mean? That means the presence of God had to leave. Okay? Leaving an emptiness, an empty spot on the inside that is made only for God. It left man feeling unfulfilled, afraid, depressed. And still today, people are looking to fill that void. You know, most people, if you talk to them, they're always looking, but they don't know what it is they're looking for. But all they do know is they haven't found it. It's true. You know, you hear so many people, well, I'm looking for this, or I'm trying to, you know, and they go through all of their lives. But there is an emptiness on the inside of the world. I'm not talking about you and I. I'm talking about people who don't know Jesus. There truly is. There's something missing in their lives, and they know it. They just don't know what it is. And so God has created us with that vacuum on the inside. And there's nothing other than God that can fill it and make you feel complete. Then Jesus says in verse 38, so if you're thirsty, in other words, if you have this need, this, you know, many people come to Jesus because they might have a need of healing. They might have a need of prosperity. I don't know. But there's people who don't, you know, who have money, who are healthy, and they still are not happy. And so this thirst isn't just because you're sick or broke or whatever. It's like there's just something missing in people's lives. And so if you're thirsty, come to me, Jesus says, and believe in me, and that void will be filled. You know, God created you for him. That's why mankind is miserable without him. You were created. He's your designer. Do you think your designer is going to create you for something else? So it's time we trust him with our design. He designed you, and he created you for him. He's the only thing that's going to completely satisfy you and fulfill you. And it's just as simple as that. It's like, I like to use a silly analogy, it's like the story of Cinderella. There's only one girl that slipper fit. Okay? Only one girl. And then it was like when the slipper went on, the whole thing was like, ah, there it is. And that's how it is with the Spirit. That's how it is with God in you. There's only one thing that can fill that void, and it's God. And when he finally comes, you finally can, you know. Does that mean life is all perfect after that? No. But you know on the inside, you have peace. You have a sense of well-being. So then Jesus goes on to say in verse 38, he who believes on me, so that's what it means to drink, to believe on Jesus, to take him into your life, invite him into your life. He who believes on me, to come to Jesus, receive eternal life, that's what we've lost, was life. We lost life. That's why people are empty. That's why people are feeling like there's something not right. We've lost life. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I am come. That's why Jesus said, I'm come to give you life. I am come to give you life, and that you might have it abundantly. So if Jesus came to give us life, it also must mean that we were dead. All of us. Now, being dead does not mean ceasing to be. Because I'll tell you, what a lot of people don't understand is that you were created in God's image and in his likeness. He breathed the spirit of life into you. Spirit never dies. It's eternal. So whether you are eternally alive or eternally dead, you are eternal. You are an eternal being. You are a spirit. And your body, when you lay down your body, your spirit doesn't just cease to be, like some people believe. No, it goes on for eternity. But you're either going to go on in eternity in life or in death. So we were all born separated from God, right? We needed to make that decision to receive life from Jesus. So we don't cease to be. We are spirits forever. So back to verse 38. He that believes in me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the question I have for you this morning is, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Why did Jesus have to be glorified before we were given the Holy Spirit? This is important for us to understand. And it goes back to this. Everything Jesus did, he became a man for us, a human. He came down to where we were, dead in sin, and he became our sin as a man. He couldn't do it as God. He had to do it as a man in order to pay off all sin debt. The Bible tells us that he who knew no sin became sin. Why? So that he could suffer your pain and your punishment that your sins deserved, which ultimately ended in death. And because he stooped so low for us, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, God has highly exalted him. That's the glorification. Above every name, everything that has a name in this world, Jesus is exalted and glorified above that name. Everything bows to the name of Jesus. He was glorified by the Father after he was risen from the dead and went back to heaven. Then he presented his blood to the Father, the blood that he shed, that he suffered and died, as payment for your sins and mine, and even sins you haven't committed yet. And God our Father was completely satisfied with that sacrifice. And then Jesus was, because God was satisfied, Jesus was exalted. You got to understand, as a man, Jesus did it all so that you could have it all. Okay? So we couldn't have received the Holy Spirit until the sacrifice was accepted. Until God said, yes, this is more than enough payment for the sins of the whole world. And then because Jesus had stooped so low, he was glorified so high. Now, all of us, when Jesus died, you were in him. When Jesus rose again, you were in him. That resurrection was for you. God didn't need to be raised from the dead. He was God. But you did. And so when he was risen, you were risen. When Jesus was exalted and glorified, guess what? So were you. And because we are glorified now, we are so clean. And this is so, this I need to drive home very, very much so this morning. The Holy Spirit now can live in you, which is God himself. That's how clean you are. Think about that. God himself now takes up residence in me. Why? Because in the glorification of Jesus Christ is my glorification. In the righteousness of Jesus is my, I am as righteous as Jesus is, as he is, so are you. And when you finally can understand that, you never have to ever fear that God's ever going to condemn you for sin of any kind. Now, I'm not saying that so that we can go out and sin. No, that doesn't make us want to go out and sin. But what I'm telling you is, don't ever let the devil come along and say to you, God doesn't hear your prayers, God's not answering you, or God's not working for you in this area because of sin. God, if God were to ever hold one sin against you, guess what? He'd have to apologize to his son. He saw what his son gave up. He saw, and it was good. It was more than enough to pay for your sins. And so it would be unjust of God to hold even one sin against you forever, because his son paid it off. And God is righteous. He is righteous in making you righteous. He is righteous in making you holy because Jesus paid it off. And when you see the ramification of that, it changes you. I am holy because of the blood. I do not want to ever undermine the blood of Jesus Christ. And yes, in my mind, my sins are great sometimes, and they bring me down, and they make me feel bad about me to the point where I can't believe that God's going to bless me. But then I need to flip my mind back to Jesus and his blood and how clean I am. How clean I am. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "Know you not your body?" This body that we walk around in is the temple of God. Now, we don't understand the ramification of that unless we go back again to the Old Testament and we see the Holy of Holies, which no one could come near. It was so holy, this place, okay? The high priest once a year was able to go in, once a year, and he couldn't go in there without blood, the blood of bulls and goats, and offering up sacrifices for his own sins. He had to go in there very carefully. I've said this over and over again. They even tied a rope around him because if something went wrong in the Holy of Holies, he'd drop dead instantly. If he didn't do it exactly the way God said to do it. Is it because God was bad? No, because God is that holy. And now that holy, holy God is in you. That tells us how clean we are by the blood of Jesus. We ought to never doubt our righteousness. Our holiness, our consecration was done through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, if you believe right, you live right. That's who you are. Incredibly holy. The Bible says, if any man defile the temple of God, woe unto him. You are the temple. Where you go, God goes. You're not aware of it. And I pray that you become more aware of what's in you. Who you are. We know it mentally. You hear it over and over. But do you know it inside your heart? Because once it gets from here to here, it will change everything. It will change your life. And so, God lives in us by his Spirit. How long? Forever. Guess what? God's dream has come to pass. You know, God is a triune being. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, but they're all one. They're all the same. One in the same. Now, the Holy Spirit, whom I've talked about often, isn't he's a person. And many times we grieve him because he so badly wants to help you. He so badly wants you to receive all of the things that Jesus gave up everything to give you. That's his purpose. His purpose is to come along and help us. He came in, the Bible says, the Spirit came down from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. He didn't just kind of slip in through the back door and kind of get the feel of the temperature of the room. No, he came in just full force. What does that tell us? Throughout all eternity, since Adam had sinned, God longed so desperately to get into, to be with his people again. And so when they were all gathered together in that upper room waiting, and that it said suddenly the Holy Spirit came into that room like a hurricane. So you imagine? I mean, I'm sure everybody's hair was standing on end. And then it says, Acts 2:4. Let's go there. Acts 2:4. It says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of their heads. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance," or gave them the words. Now, there's a story in the Old Testament where the Spirit of God was so grieved that God pulled his Spirit away. Ichabod is called. The Spirit is departed. the glory of God is departed. Okay, the Spirit is the glory. And you know how he departed? Very slowly. He kept looking back. He was yearning to stay. He did not want to leave. Why? Because he loved the people. The Holy Spirit is gentle. When I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of a gentle, wonderful, just so humble, just there to help you at all times. You know, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit now for 40 years. Over 40 years. And since that time, I have never stopped praying in the Spirit. You know, there are times and seasons in my life where I'd be praying more and less, yes. Because no one's perfect. But I'm just saying, there has never been one time in 40 years that I have ever opened up my mouth to pray about a situation and he did not fill my mouth with words. And we don't even think about that. We just take that for granted. He is always there, faithful, to fill your mouth with the answer for no matter what the need is. He knows all things. He knows you and he knows God. He knows it all. And he's the only one that can put words into your mouth that will solve or bring to pass things in your life that you don't even know about. He can pray into your future. He can even go back into your past and change things, which doesn't make any sense to us, because to us it's like, because he lives outside of time. He knows, he doesn't just give you a solution, he goes right to the root. And that's why sometimes when we pray prayers and they don't happen right away, trust him. He's dealing with the root of the problem. And it's just, to me, the more I think about it, the more phenomenal it is, how faithful he is. Right? He takes you right through life. He never leaves you, the Bible says. He will never depart from you. He will never depart. That shows you, and it gives you a confidence. There are, you know, having the Spirit and the gift of praying in the Spirit is very powerful. First of all, it's the evidence that you are truly a child of God. If you ever doubt it, just open up your mouth. And it's like, whoa, I guess I still am a child of God. Number two, it tells you how really clean you are. If God lives in you and you're condemning yourself for this or that or just feeling condemned, I don't know, we go through that all the time. That's just part of human nature. The devil comes along and says, you know, he uses the pronoun I to make it sound like it's you. I'm just this. I just can't do this. I am so weak. I. He gets you to focus on your problems by using I in your brain. And then you think it's you. And you give in to it. And before you know it, you're walking around depressed. And after a while, you think, I just don't care anymore. And, you know, you go all through all kinds of battles in your head. And the whole time, you are completely clean. You are. It tells us how clean we really are, that God himself can live in us. It tells us that no matter what, that sin is not going to be held to our account, because if it was, God would have to move out. Do you understand? If we were ever, God will never, ever convict you of another sin because of the blood. And because of that blood, you are clean forever. Clean forever. The only thing that's ever going to change, and we got to understand that everything is already done except this body. And the only reason your body hasn't been changed yet is because you got to live on this earth. And we can't live on this earth without a flesh body. But praise God, I am so excited about the coming day when we get our new bodies. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. That which is corrupt, which is our bodies, which is decaying and passing away, is going to put on incorruption, or it's going to become incorruptible, pardon me. And we will have brand new bodies forever. But the inside of you, your spirit that is made as Jesus is, so are you, is not going to change. You already are perfected forever on the inside. So God will never live in an unholy temple. That's how you know. When you open up your mouth and you hear the Holy Spirit praying out of your mouth, you can know that that's coming from a holy place, that he couldn't live there if you were not holy, completely holy. And number three, it gives you and I the assurance that, you know, as you go through life, Jesus knew it. That's why he said, he called him the Comforter. He says, guys, don't be upset because I got to go. I got to go back to heaven. But I'm going to send another Comforter, and he is going to be with you forever. In fact, Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away. Because when Jesus was on the earth, you had to be with Jesus, you know. But now the Holy Spirit is individually with each one of us. We've all got God inside of us. Not only are we walking with him, he's in us. And that gives us an insurance. It gives us that comfort that we're never alone. When I feel alone sometimes, when I feel like, where are you, God? All I do is just open up my mouth and just allow. I know he's right there. He's right there at all times. He never leaves you. And it gives us that sense of comfort. I'm never alone. Like the Bible says, if your father and your mother kick you out or abandon you, or your husband, your wife, your friends, he never. He will be with you until he will take you all the way back to the Father, which is where we came from. And that gives us comfort. Such comfort. Yes, we might have to go through some things in this world, and you know, but man, at the end of the day, just keep your focus on that. Encourage yourself. Encourage others. You know what? He's always with you. The God of the universe. He wants to be with you. It's not like he is, okay, well, now I'm obligated. Okay, son, you died and poured out your blood. Now I have to look after these guys. You know, no, it's not that at all. He wanted us, or he wouldn't have sent his son in the first place. He created you any more than when you look at your own child. You couldn't imagine if something were to happen to that child. That's part of you, you know. It would be just very, very traumatic to lose a child. But God lost us all. And it's no wonder he was so eager and did anything to get us back. So he's always with us. He's always ready to pray the right prayers in your life, in every situation. Even if you wake up in the morning and you feel down. You know how many of us get up in the morning and sometimes it's like, another day. Pray in the Spirit. He knows exactly how you're feeling, and he knows exactly what to say. He knows exactly how to pray for you in that moment. If you're afraid, pray in the Spirit. Because he knows everything about you. He knows every emotion. He knows why you're afraid. And we just don't. We've been given a gift, like I say, that is so unbelievable, but we don't tap into it. We don't trust it. I don't know, is it because we don't trust it, or we just don't? I don't need that. Yes, you do. We all need it. And why wouldn't we take this gift? I know I don't usually always have a full understanding of what even to pray for in a lot of situations. Really? There's things going on and I'm not really sure how to pray. You know, all we see is the fruit of the problem. But you know what? He doesn't pray about the fruit. He prays about the root. So that when that problem is finally looked after, it's gone. It's not something you're going to continually having to deal with. So that's why it takes time. You need to continue to pray. Trust him. He and you rest. Because you don't even know what to pray about. You just know that the end result is going to be the fruit you've desired. And you know, I have complete control over how long I pray. I could pray 24 hours a day if I want. Like I said before, he's never failed me to fill my mouth with words. If I decided I wanted to do it for 24 hours a day, he'd be right there with me. Oh my goodness, he must be just played out by the end of the day a lot of times. I'm just kidding. So we have complete control. It's not like he takes a hold of your tongue and in the middle of this, all of a sudden you're, you know, praying. No, 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 no. You have control. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 says this, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Even though I do not understand what I am praying, it's by my faith I trust the Holy Spirit. And believe me, He is trustworthy. I trust the Holy Spirit that He is praying exactly the will of God, which is always good for my life. The right prayers for me and mine. And I know for a fact that the Holy Spirit reaches into your future and starts to pray, because He might see something the enemy... See, that's the thing. He knows everything the enemy's got planned for you from the beginning to the end. The enemy cannot outsmart the Holy Spirit. And so when you give Him weight in your life, He prays right into your future. He sees something the enemy's got planned for you. Well, if you begin to pray, He'll maneuver you around that, and the enemy's plan is toast. You and I won't know that until we get to heaven, where we're actually going to see through our prayers how God worked in our lives to keep us from falling into that. So who wouldn't want to pray in the Spirit? Who wouldn't want the Holy Spirit and God already blessing your future, helping you in your future, keeping the plans of the enemy from coming to pass in your life? Wow, that's amazing. He's always got the right prayers for me and mine, my own, my children, my grandchildren. Excuse me. It gives me a sense of being covered. It gives me a sense of having peace in my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Says this, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. However," or howbeit, "in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." Now, we look at that and we're not really sure what the Bible is telling us. When we pray in an unknown tongue, we're not speaking to men, okay? We're speaking directly to God. Remember I said that last week? It is a direct line to God. You don't get put on hold. You don't get all these numbers you're supposed to push in order to you finally get God. You know, in the natural, when we phone any place, we get, you know, if you're looking for this department, push this number. And then you keep getting these recordings and you're looking for a person. Well, I tell you, when you pray in the Spirit, it is directly to God. I was going to talk about that this morning going into the book of Revelation, but I decided to go into that next week. But it's a direct access, direct. The moment those words are out of your mouth, they're in the presence of God, in the presence of our Father. So you speak direct to God. You don't understand yourself. Other people don't understand you. But, however, in the Spirit, you are speaking mysteries. Now, I want you to turn over 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read verses 6 to 12. Remember, we just read, "In the Spirit, you are speaking mysteries to God." Let's tie this in with this passage of Scripture. "However," verse 6 it says, "we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." Who are those that are perfect? Those that are born again, those that have the Spirit of God in them. Okay? "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing." The wisdom of this world. The Bible says, what is the wisdom of God for us? The Bible says, Jesus has been made wisdom unto us. Okay? So when we need to understand anything in our lives, where do we need wisdom? We need wisdom every day to make choices, to make decisions, to even decide what we're going to believe. Jesus Christ is that wisdom. Everything must go through the cross. We speak It says here, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So what do you think the wisdom, when we're praying, we speak mysteries unto God. What are we speaking? What are those words that are coming out of your mouth that you don't understand? They are the wisdom of God. They are Jesus Christ and everything he did for you. You see, the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete. He's your lawyer. He knows the law. He knows what is rightfully yours. If you hire a lawyer, you're hiring him because you don't understand all your rights. He puts it all together and makes a case for you, and he takes it, and you have to trust him that he's going to win your case. In this case, the Holy Spirit, who is your Paraclete, he begins to speak the word and the things. He begins to speak the mysteries of Christ, because that's who you are. That's what you have. Those are your rights. You understand? So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What that's telling us is when you speak forth the wisdom of God, the mystery of God through your tongue, the devil knows nothing. He does not understand it. Because it says, had he understood it, he would have never killed Jesus. Because in doing so, he released how many little Jesuses on the earth. Okay? That's exactly what happened. Because that's how you need to see yourself. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. It was his biggest nightmare. And he thought he had it. He thought he had Jesus. I killed the one. I killed the seed. The seed that goes way back to the Garden of Eden, because God said, the woman's seed is going to bruise your head. And when he put Jesus to death, he figured, yes, he's gone. But he didn't realize what God had planned. That in Christ, now we're all going to be raised to life and have power and authority over him. And so we're speaking, when we speak words, when we pray in the Spirit, we're actually speaking forth the wonderful works of God in Christ. That's what they heard the day of Pentecost. Remember, it says there was devout Jews standing outside, and they all heard them speaking in their own language, all speaking of the wonderful works of God. And that's what we're speaking. We're speaking forth the wonderful works of Jesus as we pray in the Spirit, which is the wisdom of God, because that's who you are. That's what belongs to you. And which none of the world or princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor that has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for you that love him. In other words, the Holy Spirit is speaking out things that God's prepared for you. He's speaking about your future, Dominic. Things that you cannot know, that no one knows. But it says, goes on to say in verse 10, God has revealed these things unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, except the Spirit of God. And you, it says now, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but you have received the Spirit which is of God. The Spirit which is of God, why? That you might know the things that are freely given to you by God. That you might know. Now, let me ask you this question. This is a really deep question. When you come to the Father and pray something, when you have a need in your life, and you come to God and you pray, let's say you have a real sickness in your body and it just doesn't want to go away. So when you come to him in prayer about this sickness, let me ask you a question. Are you already healed before you pray? Are you already healed before you pray? Everybody's not sure where I'm going with this. I'm like, Yes, you are. But your prayer is just coming into connection with what you already have and receiving it into your life. Okay? God needs, the Holy Spirit needs your permission to bring that healing to pass. So the mysteries of God, like I said, are all of the things that Jesus Christ has already freely given you. And the Holy Spirit prays those things out. He's your lawyer. They belong to you. These are your rights. And not only does he do that, he reveals these things to our hearts. Okay, so why is this so important for us to understand? Because everything in life that we need, everything that we're trying to acquire, whether it's health, wholeness, peace, prosperity, all the goodness, the good things that Jesus died to give us, we have to have faith, right? So it's really, we know they're all freely given. We see it written in the scriptures over and over again. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Okay, so everything is free. You can't earn any of God's blessings that he gave us through Christ. It was all because of Jesus, all of it. Okay, so we need faith to believe that. So really, it's a faith fight. The Holy Spirit is in us to help us with this fight of faith. So he takes the things that are of God and he reveals, as we pray out of our innermost being, these rivers of life. These rivers of life are watering our minds. They're giving us the wisdom of God. If you lack wisdom, begin to pray in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, things that you had a struggle with understanding, all of a sudden, they become revealed to you. And in closing, we're going to go to one more scripture, John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit here. And he says, verse 13 of John chapter 16, howbeit, or however, when he is the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself. You see, the Holy Spirit is not about himself. He never, that's why in the Bible, he's never seen. Do you ever ask yourself, someday you're going to go to heaven, and I thought of this as I was doing this. What does the Holy Spirit look like? Because he's a person. We have nothing to, you know, you think, what does he really look like? We're going to see him. We're going to see the Holy Spirit. We know we're going to see Jesus. And we know what Jesus kind of looks like because he was a man. And we have pictures of him and people describing, you know, he was roughly, you know, 6 feet and he had light brown hair, blue eyes, you know. So you can imagine a person. But the Holy Spirit is never explained. That's because he does not make mention of himself. It's got nothing. To him, it's all about glorifying Jesus. But he's a person. And we will see him. And so I wonder what the Holy Spirit looks like. But I imagine he is the most gentle, wonderful, amazing person. If he can put up with me and you and all of our quirkiness, and if he can stick with us through thick and thin, wow, he's never going to leave you. That just speaks of his character, his nature. And that's why the Bible says, don't grieve him. Don't grieve him. He is just there to help you all the time. By grieving him, I believe, we ignore him. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. See, he does not glorify himself. But whatever he will hear, that will he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you your future. Many times God gives you a glimpse into your future of things that you at that time don't even understand. That's happened to me. I absolutely, at the time when I got it, I was like, what did I just see there? And 25 years later, it's like, oh, now it makes sense. He will also glorify me, Jesus says, for he will receive of mine and show it unto you. The word show there means reveal. In other words, he receives of the things of Jesus, the things that Jesus Christ has freely given you, and he reveals it to your heart. Why? So that you can trust. He is the one that's bringing you wisdom and revelation of Jesus as he's speaking. The more you speak it out, the more your spirit is beginning to pick it up, and all of a sudden, bango, you get the revelation. Once you have the revelation, guess what? You have it. You've had it the whole time, but you just didn't have the faith. You didn't have the clear revelation that it was yours. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's bringing you full circle to see it for yourself so that you can reach up by faith and say, okay, now I got it. And too often we walk away and we think, well, I'm never going to get this. It's because we just don't have that revelation. So I'm encouraging us, don't ever stop praying. Don't ever stop. He is working out, the Bible says, all things in your life for good. And you may not understand any of it, and it may not look like after you pray for a day in the Spirit, you're getting anything but a dry mouth and a headache. Just don't let the enemy come along and tell you that it was a waste of time, because it is not. Rather, ponder the things I shared this morning about the different things that are going on when you're praying in the Spirit. And he is working everything out for your good and for your glory. And it's amazing how when it hits, when that time comes, it's like something goes off on the inside of you, and it's like, oh my goodness, how did I not see this before? But it just shows how desensitized we've already become to spiritual things. God is a spirit. The real you is a spirit. And it's hard for us to operate in the spirit. Why? Because we live in the flesh world. And to most people, flesh is their reality. They don't realize that this flesh world is dead. It's passing away. And the real world is the spirit world, where the life is. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be connected more closely to the spirit world, because that's the real world. And praying in the spirit is definitely one of the most powerful ways to do that. So don't ever stop praying. He's working on your behalf. I don't care if it's healing you need in your body. I don't care what the need is. Just keep on praying. The enemy wants to come along and get us to stop and say, this is just not working. Don't listen to his lies. It's a powerful thing. It's an amazing gift that God has given us. And if you haven't got the gift, you need to get it. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with communion right now. Shelby. Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to come together as a family and partake of the communion. We are all one in Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Lord, we all have the same promises, the same Holy Spirit, and we've all been given the body of Jesus. So Lord, as we partake of this bread, we bring to our remembrance all that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, all the suffering that he went through, every curse that he suffered through because of our sin, that we might go free. And so, Father, as we partake of this bread, we know that all of the goodness of God, all the blessings of the cross have freely been given to us. And as we partake of this bread, we just give thanks that our bodies are already healed. Our bodies are already restored and set free, Father, by whose stripe we are healed and we are made whole. So, Father, we give you praise and glory that every day and every time we partake of this bread,
we are walking more and more in complete and total health and wholeness. Thank you, Father God. There is not one feeble one among each of us here, Lord God, but we are all healed and whole because of the body of Jesus. And we just thank you for it in his name. That you have healed your people. Lord God, that more and more, every time we partake of this bread, health and wholeness is becoming just a way of life for us. Father God, I thank you that you are bringing health to the body of Christ, that we might take this health and wholeness and give it to others. Thank you, Father. On the same night, Jesus took the cup of our salvation, the cup of the blood of Jesus Christ, which completely washed away all of our sin and made us completely clean and holy and righteous. Father, because Jesus Christ took our place in death, we now have the freedom and the right to take our place in his life. So I give thanks for this cup, and every time we do partake of it, we proclaim the death of our Jesus, that death which ultimately was ours, that released us from every curse. No evil can befall us. No curse can come near our dwelling place. And we just give you the praise and the glory, Father, for protecting us from all evil. In Jesus' name. Father, now I just pray that you bless your people as we leave this place. Lord God, no matter what comes this week, remind us the Holy Spirit is there. He's the answer. He has the answer. And Father, I just thank you that we, your people, will step into this, I believe, this power that you, this gift that you have given to us, Lord, and begin to pray in the Spirit more than we ever have. I thank you, Father, that we will know in our hearts that this is from you. Lord, guide us, lead us each and every day of our lives. Make your blessing to always fall upon your people. And I just thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, did I do it right?
Yeah, it wasn't your fault.
I thought maybe it was...